Just me, a logo, and a lamp. People need the Lord. Man, I love that song. And it fits so well with what we're going to discuss today. Remember our goal here, and this is kind of like the crowning stone of where we've been going for 5 years. 5 years we've been putting these pieces in place, trying to help ourselves to understand that this is not necessarily God's church. God's church was designed to be a vessel that goes out and reaches a lost and dying world. So we began putting the pieces back together, and we began talking about this new logo that goes with this new name, that goes with this new vision and this new direction. And we began with the idea of talking about seeing the field. We talked about the idea of living between the trees. And finally, we arrived at that sun at the back of the logo, and we began to talk about what it takes to shine. Specifically, what it takes specifically for you to shine. And I made it kind of simple, I hope, because it's just a matter of putting the letters back together. Remember? S stands for serve God with all my heart. Serve God with all my heart. Do my part. Offer my service back to God. The H stands for honoring God in our worship. It's not about the song you sing. It's about the heart you bring. The melody and the tune are not as important as the words and who we're offering it to. Because that's the idea of worship. I'm giving something back to God. And so that brings us to right in the middle of the word. Right there at the point. And keep in mind the first two letters, the S and the H, those are kind of internal things that happen here in the church. The idea of serving, the idea of worshiping. But now we reach the I, which is right in the middle of the word. And I have a question for you. Have you ever had a party or an event at your home? Yes. My son turned one, Caleb, many years ago, actually 13 years ago. And when he turned one, my wife and I had a bright idea. Let's have a birthday party. Dumb idea. Not the birthday party itself, but we have lots of people. As a matter of fact, my wife has a family. Outside of the people that live in the house with her, she has a mom and a dad and a couple of sisters and their aunts and their uncles. And you know what? I have a family. And in my family, I have two sisters and I have a mom and a dad. And I have nieces and nephews. And so we have all of those people. And then at that time, we also had a church family, which we have today. But that church family, let's just say Caleb was well-loved. So we had this first birthday party. And we had 51 people show up for his first birthday party. And the good thing is we planned to have it outside. The bad thing is it's in the middle of July and we had one of those torrential thunderstorm days. And so now we have 51 people crammed in a 1,300 square foot house. I kid you not, we have pictures from my son's first birthday party and my wife and the one-year-old son are plastered against the little entertainment center as the crowd is just around him and they're trying to see him open his presents. We learned we never did this again. We decided to have a church birthday party and a family birthday party after that because it spread the crowd out. But I have a question. How did we get 51 people to our house on a single day? We gave them an invitation. We mailed out an invitation for the family members. We gave them a call. We let everybody know when the party is, what time the party is, what the purpose of the party is. And they just came. Isn't that amazing? And that just kind of leads us naturally into how do people get to church? Now, you're looking at that little pie chart, and those of you who don't like math, you're a little scared now. I'm not going to make you add. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you the blanks. But I want you to see how people today, this is according to a survey that was put out by Pew Research, how people today got to their current church, and you might be surprised at how they got there. Believe it or not, 3% of them are what you would call a walk-in. They have no connection to the church whatsoever. They have nothing going on with the church. All they saw was a sign on the side of the road, and they decided, I want to go to church, and they just walked in the door. 3% of people that currently attend the church today, that's how they got there. Just 3% are walk-ins. Then you have the next big chunk there, As you look at the next big punch, 12% of people that attend the church today arrive because of advertising. There was an event or a promotion. They heard an ad on the radio. They saw something on the television. They got a little flyer in the mail. They got a card. I don't know how they, you know, this is just advertising. In general, this is how they got there. There was something going on at the church, and they got some kind of blind advertisement. It wasn't personal. It was just something that was sent out there. And so 12% of the people surveyed in this survey said, I got here because I got a piece of advertisement. Here's a big chunk. 30% are connected with a denomination, quote unquote. But here's what I mean by that. 30% of the people were either born into the church, okay? They got there via the nursery, or they moved from one place to the other and they were already a member of a Christian church, Church of Christ in this area. So when they moved to the next area they went to, they just decided, I got to find something that fits the same denomination. So they started coming to the same place. So 30% of the people in America that were surveyed said, I got here because I had a previous connection, either through my family or through growing up in a church like this. This is just what I did. Now, if you look at that pie, there's a lot of slices missing. I mean, that only makes up 45% of the pie. So the question is the other 55% of people in America that are currently coming to church, how did they get there? Invitation. They got there because somebody asked them to come. Somebody gave them a personal invitation to say, come to church with me. 55% of people attending church today, that's how they got there. Are your wheels turning now? Think about how we count on people coming to church. Are we really putting our focus where we get the most bang for the buck? A lot of churches today are investing heavily in advertising. Well, keep in mind, 12% of the pie is you're going to get that way. A lot of churches are counting and putting up signs and putting up this and putting up that, hoping that people just walk in off the street. 3%. People are hoping, well, the kids are just going to grow up and the next generation is just going to kind of be there. We're going to birth a kingdom into existence. Well, if you're going to do that, first of all, somebody better get busy because I'm done. Just so you know, I'm done. So the 30%, you're only going to get 30% that way. If you're going to get the other 55%, you're going to have to learn to, I stands for invite, this should be an S on the end of that, sorry, inviting others to come. That's the plan. You know, that makes so much sense. You're probably thinking, we don't really need a sermon on this. I mean, I understand this. Of course, if I wanted somebody to come to my house, I would send them an invitation. I mean, I just don't expect people to walk into my house and say, hi, I'm here for dinner. Okay, we used to have friends that we kind of expected that every now and then they would just show up and say, hi, what's for dinner? We do have friends like that. But as a whole, I don't expect the average person to just knock on my door and say, I'm here for dinner. There has to be an invitation given, and it works the same way for church. As a matter of fact, Jesus thought this was so important that he gave us a story. If you have your copy of God's Word, we're going to be in Luke chapter 14 today. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 23. And I want to start out by looking, by just kind of setting the stage, and this is what it says. It says, right before we go into that chunk in verses 12 through 14, it says, then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, or your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now, this is a really interesting story. Because you know what Jesus was? He was at the place he got invited to dinner. He was sitting there at the table and all eyes were on him, and I'm sure there was dinner table discussion and things were happening, and as they begin to look out and Jesus starts to get everybody's attention, he makes this kind of a statement. And I'm sure the Pharisee was sitting there like, huh? I mean, because you need to know, this was biblical times. Dinners were a big deal. Being invited to somebody's house for dinner was a status symbol. Who invited you to dinner? It was important. Who invited you to dinner said something about who you are. Who you invited said something about who you are. You see, when people put on dinners, they wanted to make sure it was one of those things that you could see how many friends you had. You wanted to invite your neighbors, and you wanted to invite your brothers and your sisters and your family. And the hope was that they in turn would invite you. You see, this whole idea about dinner is who came said even more. See, if you invited somebody that was special in the area and they decided not to come to your dinner, then that kind of was a slap in your face. So here's Jesus. He's sitting here at this dinner, and he's talking to these people, and he's telling them, when you have a dinner, don't invite your family. Don't invite your rich neighbors. Notice he said he labeled the rich neighbors. Don't invite those people that you can get something out of it. Change your perspective. And I'm sure the Pharisee just kind of sat there with his mouth wide open, because I don't know what I'm supposed to say to this. The good news is that somebody spoke up in the Pharisee's defense. One of those people that were sitting at the table said, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Man, what a smart move. Jesus says something controversial, so I'm going to turn it into something spiritual. Yes, Jesus, I agree with you. Blessed are those who eat at the kingdom of God. I don't think I'd ever want to have a spiritual conversation with Jesus. I don't. I don't think I want to have one of these moments where I try to outsmart Jesus, because Jesus understands what he's doing here is he is challenging the people to move outside of what they think of when they think about having an invitation. What he's doing is he's challenging everything that they believe. And so as he's get this guy trying to sit here and one-up Jesus, Jesus says, "Hey guys, let me tell you a story." Dinnertime stories are great. This is what it says in verses 16 through 23. Jesus replied. It's kind of like E.F. Hutton. I bet you everybody went silent at that table. When he speaks, everybody started listening. "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I have just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered the servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done. But there's still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Now, that's a story that we've probably heard a bunch. As a matter of fact, I know I brought this story into many other sermons, but I want to specifically focus on this parable because there are some takeaways that I want you to gather from this. And the first takeaway is he prepared to receive guests. This certain man that was out there, he had already made all the preparations to receive guests into his house. He had already killed the fatted calf. He had already made the dinner. The silverware had already been polished. The place had already been set. It wasn't until he had everything ready that he went out and he said, "Come." Now everything is ready. He was prepared to receive guests. And that is why the S and the H in the word shine is so important for us, because we have to be prepared to receive the guests that we want to invite. We want them to come in and see a church that is serving God with all of our heart. We want them to see a church that is honoring God with our worship. We want them to see exactly who God is, and the only way they're going to see it is that they see it in me and you. We have to prepare to receive these guests. You know what the one reason people don't want to invite people to church? Fear. They're not afraid of somebody telling them no. Sometimes I think they're afraid of people telling them yes. They're afraid that when the people get there, that then they're going to see things and then they're going to have questions and it may not go the way you think it should go and it may be not the music that you thought it was going to be. And so they begin to get feared, and so they don't want to get embarrassed, so they don't invite people. But we have to get over that fear. We have to prepare our church in such a way that we are structured to receive guests. Now, he gave a simple invitation. He didn't make this complex. As a matter of fact, it says, come, for everything is now ready. Just come. I'm not asking you to come so you can serve. I'm not asking you to come so you can wash feet. I'm not asking you to come because I need to take some money. I'm not asking you to come because I need... I want you to come because I have prepared something for you, and it is ready for you to come. What a totally simple invitation. And the thing is that where did he start? He started with people he knew. Did you catch the servants? They sent out the invitations, and then when everything was ready, he sent the servants out, and he said, go out and get the people that I gave the invitation here, because the party's about to start, and there's nobody here. Have you ever done that? You planned an event, or you planned a party, and you're all set up, and it's all time to go, and you're just sitting there, and nobody shows up. That would have to be devastating. And so the man sends him out and says, go find out where all these people are that I invited. And you know what he got? Excuses. People began to tell him, these people that he knew, they began to make excuses. The first one blamed their possessions. I bought a piece of land and I got to go take care of it. The second one blamed their work. He said, you know what? I got some oxen and I really need to try these things out to make sure they're ready on Monday morning. I love the third one. He blamed his wife. Some blamed their family. Not much has changed in the world, has it? Somehow when we invite the people that are right there in our sphere, it's like they're waiting for us. They're ready for us. They're waiting for us to invite them to come, and they have the ready-made excuse to give to us in hopes that we give up. We quit inviting. And this man, well, I just want you to know, he was angry. It upset him that people made excuses on why they could not come to his banquet. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay to get a little angry. Now, I don't suggest that you get angry and take it out on them right there. You notice the servants just kind of went back home. Okay, and they told the master. The master got angry, not the servants. But he wasn't deterred. How easy would it have been for him to say, well, forget it. Just take the stuff and pitch it in the trash can. I'm going up. I'm going to go to bed. I'm done with this. I'm through inviting. I'm through giving parties. We're just going to be who we are, and I'm just not going to worry about these people anymore. That's not what he did. He kept inviting. He just changed sources. He went from inviting people he knew to inviting people he knew about. This is what he told his servants. Go out quickly, quickly, because the food's ready, folks. We got to get people in here to eat this food. Go out quickly into the streets and in the alleys of the town, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Now, he's picked a specific target, because if you think about it, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame probably don't get a lot of dinner invitations in this society. As a matter of fact, they were very looked down upon. But he also picked them because all of these people represent people in physical need. There's something in their life that is missing. They're in physical need. And if somebody comes and said, you want to come have a meal? Oh, yeah. I could be good with the meal. I could do that. But he also wants you to see, he doesn't change his invitation. He says, go quickly and give them the same invitation you gave to the other people. Come now, everything is ready. Now, I also want you to notice something else. In the biblical society, when you go out and you invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, you know what else you're committing to do, don't you? You're committing to get them there. Because the blind couldn't find you. The crippled couldn't walk to you. The poor couldn't afford to get there. So you are not only committing to inviting them, you are now committing to take your life and see that they get to the party. You see the way things are changing? This man begins to understand he takes his party from being a place where he gets to celebrate to being a place where he is going to begin to minister to these people. He's going to invite people that have needs, people that are broken, people that are busted, people that are outside of where people usually think about going. That's the only one problem. He invited them all. And you notice it doesn't say any of them denied coming. They came, but they were still rude. The master came down and he looked at this party, and I guess he's a little happier now because some of the chairs are full, but a lot of the chairs are empty. And so this is what he says. He says, well, we're just going to keep on inviting. This is what we're going to do. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country and the lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. He's switching sources again. He went from people he knew about to people he would never consider. I want you to think about what you're going to find. We have to get in our little magic time machine and go back in time and go down into the biblical times and understand. Do you know who you're going to find on the country lanes? You know who you're going to find in the back alleys? You know who you're going to find in those kind of places? You know where he's sending his servants? He's sending them to find the homeless, the prostitutes, the vagabonds, possibly the criminals and the drug dealers. Those are the people he's now saying, I want you to go invite them into my house. But I want you to notice his invitation changed. He didn't say go to these people and tell them, come now, everything is ready. He said go to them and compel them to come. And I'm sure the servants looked at this man and said, you've lost your mind. Do you know what that word compel means? It doesn't mean propel, so it doesn't mean we're allowed to tie them up and bring them. Okay, but it does mean compel, and urge is the word I heard. It literally means don't take no for an answer. Go out to the back alleys and the country lanes and the places that you would never consider going in your entire life, and I want you to not take no for an answer. You keep asking those people until they come in the door. As a matter of fact, he says, beg them. That's what compel is. Now, it's funny. I would think the ones that he would have begged were the ones at the front of the stack when you're talking to the people that you're... Those are the people that we want to beg to come. But Jesus is looking at this Pharisee and says, beg those people. Because those people don't trust you. Those people think you're just trying to judge them. Those people think you're just trying to condemn them. And you need to convince them that that's not what you're here to do. As a matter of fact, offer these people whatever you have to get them to the party. Oh my goodness. Jesus, have you lost it? Really? You want me to go out into the back alleys and the downtrodden and all of the brokenness in the world where it's not safe for me to go, and you want me to invite these people, and if these people say, I need this, then I try to do that to get them into the house? Yes. That's exactly what he's saying. He's telling us our mission did not end with just going and asking Aunt Susie to come or Uncle Harry to come. We don't end with just asking the people that we know that we're comfortable with. We begin to stop when heaven is full. That's when we stop inviting. When God sends out the message and says there is no more vacancies in heaven, it's all full, then we stop. Until then, we have an obligation to shine. We have an obligation to invite others to come. We have an obligation to invite the ones that we know. We should be out there inviting our friends and our family and our co-workers and those that we have a relationship with. But I want to let you know, that's the hardest territory. I have a very good friend. He's a Christian. And I invited him to come to church on the other side of the mountain when we were over there. And I invited this guy for years to come to church. He was a Christian, but he got himself unchurched because he had some issues at the church he was with. And so he was unchurched. And I invited him time after time after time. We had a special. We had a worship. We had a Christmas thing. And I just kept inviting him. He never came. Never, ever, ever. And then one day he walks into work and he said, you know what I did this Sunday? What? I went to church. I didn't see you there. He's like, no, I went to, and he described the other church, which happened to be one of our sister churches. And I'll be honest with you, I'm like, I've been asking you for years, and you couldn't even come visit. And then it dawned on me. He doesn't want to come to church with me because he knows me. There's an expectation there. The first time he walks in the door, the next week he's not there, I'm going to ask him where he was. And then I'm going to ask him what he thought. And if he didn't like it, he doesn't want to hurt my feelings. So he found his own way, and that's what happens when you invite people you know. There's an expectation there. The first time they walk in the door, then the chips were all on the table. And so that makes it hard. But I want you to see, don't miss it. He still went and invited those people. But you need to know that that's going to be the hardest group of people you have to invite. Now, you go to the people that have the physical needs. Invite them to a dinner? Yeah. Now you're talking. You invite them to something that you're having where you can meet one of their needs, and you're going to get the opportunity to bring them into the building. You go out and find people that whose lives are really just falling all apart, and you offer them some kind of fix without all the judgment and the churchyism that goes with it, you'll see them. Because those people see something in you. See, this is what it says in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Pay real close attention. Come all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You have had no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money or without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Isaiah begins with his invitation. He says, come all of you who are thirsty. Come all of you who are hungry. Come all of you who are broken. Come all of you who are messed up. Those are the people that we want to go out and invite. But I have to warn you, if you invite them, they just may come. And when they come, they aren't going to understand church the way we understand church. They aren't going to understand how the program works. All they're going to know is they see something in your life that they want, and they're going to come. I have to warn you, it's going to change the church. Actually, it may put the church back where it came from. So here's the question I want to ask you, and you're wondering about the little cards in your bulletin. I'm getting there. Shine. If we're going to shine, we have to invite, and that is not a typo, that is a blank. That is a blank, because who do we have to invite? Now, if you picked up a bulletin this morning, and I hope you did. Hang on, I got another piece of paper stuck in my pocket now that I got to work around. Stuffed in your bulletin, these are a test drive. Eventually, I want to order some from a professional company that does a professional job cutting, because my cutter's not all that straight, but this is a test drive. You know what this is? This is an invitation. It is simple. If you turn it over on the back, it says, come, everything is ready. You are invited to come to Parkview Christian Church this Sunday. Our service starts at 10:30 a.m. I hope to see you there. How simple is that? Now, what do you think I want you to do with this invitation? Give it to somebody. And you know, the funny thing is when you go to the restaurant this afternoon and you order your meal and you're all done, you can leave a card. By the way, if you want more than one, there are stacks of them at the doors when we go out. When you meet that person that you don't have but 2 seconds to talk to them, you can give them an invitation. When you see that person standing on the side of the street corner, you can give them an invitation. You can hand these out by the dozens. As a matter of fact, I want to let you know, I don't know any logical reason you could not give one of these away every single week. It's just like sowing seed. I'm not asking you to dig a hole. I'm not asking you to water it. I'm asking you to put it out there. Just invite somebody. Anybody. You don't have to know their name. Maybe it's the person that lives a few doors down from you. Maybe it's your next door neighbor. Maybe it is a family member. I don't know who it is. Maybe this is going to be somebody that you randomly meet in Walmart. It doesn't matter. This is simple. You could take stacks of these and put them in your pocketbook. You could take stacks of these and put them in your pocket. You could put these in your car. You could have these ready. And all I'm asking you to do is give it a try. Try a little shining in this way. Just give a simple invitation. Doesn't promise anything, does it? It just says, we're having a worship service. Just so you know, you're invited. You're welcome to come. I'm not asking you to come and do everything, because I want you to come because everything is ready. Everything is good to go. You don't have to sing. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to work in the nursery. I just want you to come because everything is ready. I have something for your life. If we're serious about shining, these are simple. This is easy. You could teach a two-year-old to do this. This is easy pickings to just simply go out and ask people. And I have to tell you, I stole this idea. This is not a very original idea. We went to what was Logan's, now closed, and we were sitting there one evening and we were having our dinner, and there were some people that were sitting kind of in the back of the area that where we were at. And she got up when they finished their meal, and they paid their waitress, and they were heading out. And as they walked out, every table they passed, the lady started pulling out cards. Even if you were sitting at the table, she put one on our table, and we were sitting there. And I was impressed. How simple was that? She didn't have to do anything except for hand me the card. You know what? I did read the card. I decided it probably wouldn't be a good idea for me to go visit her church that Sunday. I had to work. I was here. But I wanted you to know that some other churches out there have this concept, just simple invites. Now, if we use them and I see these going away, we'll spend the money to buy the ones that are nice and glossy and all fixed up and ready to go. But I want you to know, come, everything is ready. We are here today to serve God with all of our heart. We're here to honor God in our worship, and we need to start inviting people to come and see what's going on. This morning, I do want to offer an invitation if you're here this morning. And you know what? You've never met this Jesus man. This man that told the Pharisee to take his eyes off of his rich neighbors and his family and put his eyes on the people in the world that are in need. If you've never met that man, come. Everything you need to receive Christ has been done. Christ did it when he came and he gave his life on the cross. When he died and he rose again, all of that's been done. All you have to do is come. We'll sit down and we'll show you what it means to accept Christ, to follow him. That is an open invitation that is always open. But if you've taken care of that this morning, I'm not inviting you. I'm daring you. As a matter of fact, I'll go back to the Christmas. I am double dog daring you to give it a try. I am daring you to take the invitations, and as you go through your week and you see the opportunities out there, just plant a seed. Doesn't matter if everybody comes that you invite. Just plant a seed. It costs you absolutely nothing to give it a try. I'm challenging you. Begin to shine by inviting others to come and experience Christ. Would you please stand? We're going to pray and then we're going to sing.